Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles. That is Micah 1. That is the only place you'll be. No reason not to have your Bible open. If you are just not a Bible open type individual and you are looking for me to pour into you today, I promise you that God's Word is better than mine. So I want His Word open. If you don't have a Bible, there's black hardbound ones all around the room. If you don't have a Bible of your own, that is our gift to you. Just take it with you. As you flip in your Bible, I was singing there, guys, and I was thinking this morning, I was getting ready for church. I'm an early riser, and I was just thinking about church and where my heart was. You know, Sunday morning has really become my Friday night in a lot of ways. There's no better place to be than here this morning. I am blessed to be with you and fortunate that you chose to worship with us. I love my God, and I am grateful for His church here at Eastview. So thank you for gathering with us this morning. Micah 1. Now, I'm going to read this introduction three times during the course of this message. I honestly, as I was studying this, wanted to preach just out of this first introduction in the first verse. We're going to go through the whole chapter together to really set the table this morning, but there is a rich sermon in just the intro, and I want you to hear it. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moreseth in the days of Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, all three kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and during his time in Jerusalem. I am extremely excited about this Old Testament minor prophet study that we're doing this morning. First, I'm excited because if you've been a part of this church, if you're a listener at home, remember, we're in other countries, other states. We have people who still don't feel comfortable being here that are going to watch us on the screen or listen to us through the podcast. No matter who you are, if we know you or not, if you've been a part of the church, we have dissected and gone through many books of the Bible. This is number 14 in the last 7 years together. I love going through every syllable, every word, every verse, every comma, every character of a book. We saw it in Matthew and Philippians and James and John and all of these books that we've done, because when you do this, when you teach in such a way, when you study in such a way, man, all of these unknown wonders, these uncharted territories of the Bible come to pop out and the light bulb goes off and God blesses. And I can see that, especially in a book like Micah. But Micah is an Old Testament prophet that very few of us know a lot about. Like, if you're coming into this game on Sunday this morning and you're like, hey, Micah is my favorite, well, then stand up and let us applaud you, okay? Not a lot of Micah bumper stickers on cars with great verses that we know by heart. I spent time this week with brothers that know a ton about the Bible and then brothers who might not know a lot about the Bible, and their answers were the same. I'd say, man, Micah, I'm excited about this book, bro. You know a lot about Micah. And everybody would answer the same way. They'd say, is that a book of the Bible? I didn't even know that was in there. That's the hidden book that I might not know. I've not really spent a lot of time in that. So concerning Micah, man, God is going to bless, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of uncharted time together that God is going to pour in to His people. And even though we might not know a lot about Micah, and maybe because we don't know a lot about the Old Testament prophets before Jesus' time, please understand me, no matter where you are in the spectrum of age and theology and time in the Word, Micah is a book that is calling to us in 2021 in relevance, power, and blessings. We see it in the first verse. Second time reading it. The word of the Lord that came to Micah. Where's Micah from? Of Moreseth. In the days of Jotham. We're going to spend time here. Highlight verse 1. In the time of Jotham, he's a king. Ahaz, he's a king. Hezekiah, he's a king. Kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria in his days in Jerusalem. In the first verse, we get a lot about this character. In setting the table this morning, what we're going to talk about is, who is Micah, what is his message, and where is God in it? Hunter, where are we at this morning? Who is Micah, what is his message, and where is God in it? Micah was one of the early Old Testament prophets. He spoke about God before we saw Jesus in the New Testament, before the Gospels. What we had is, we had this man, and he is considered a minor prophet, and that doesn't mean not relevant or important. It means his book is small, and his words are powerful and direct. There's not a lot of storytelling. There's not a lot of character development. He comes out swinging in verse 2. He was from Moreseth. Put that picture up there, Chris. This is Moreseth, if you've never been there before. No, that's Micah. If you've never met Micah before, that's Micah too, okay? That's Moreseth. Moreseth is the back roads of that area. It's a country town. I want you to think of Huntington. He was a country boy in a lot of ways, much like the man before him being Amos, another prophet. He ministered what we see in the 7 chapters of Micah. He ministered at home. He ministered at Tractor Supply in his small local church. He ministered to his brothers that he farmed with. But it also tells us that he went on the road. He put his boots up and got in his Ford pickup, and he went to the big city of Jerusalem, and he ministered the same there. His name, Brother Brent and I were talking about this week. His name literally invites a sermon, as in, who is Yahweh? That is what this man's name means. It didn't talk much about his mom and dad, but one could guess that they loved the Lord, naming their son, who is like our Creator? There is a very rich, and there is a very powerful, and there's a very relevant sermon in just the introduction. Just this introduction where it says this small town country boy that was faithful at home and faithful amongst the skyscraper served telling people about God under the rule of 3 different kings. And if you haven't highlighted yet, do it now, underline, do whatever you got to do, write it on your hand. Those 3 kings were Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Now, what is God's word telling us in verses 1 of chapter 1 in a time where we would have passed by that very quickly and gone right to the message? What is God telling us in just the intro? He's telling us a lot. Jotham was a king when Micah started his ministry. When Micah started at a very early age, he ministered to the surrounding area, Israel, for 16 years under the power of Jotham. Jotham was a king who loved God and loved his commandments, much like his father did before him. Now, when Jotham died, he handed the baton to his firstborn son, Ahaz. And Micah ministered and prophesied about the coming God, the king, for 20 years under the rule of Ahaz, Jotham's son. Now, this is something that many of us pray does not happen in our own life and our parenting, but Ahab was very different than his old man. Ahab was a wicked king. He erected idols. He closed the temple. He shut down the church. 20 years of Micah's ministry was in this very difficult climate of ministry. And then lastly, it says that Micah served under 3 kings. The last king, for 29 years into his older age, Micah served under the king Ahaz. I'm sorry, under Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz. So we have 16 years under a godly king. We have 20 years under a king who literally broke the foundation of godliness, erected idols, shut the church down. And then we have 29 years of a king who went back to his grandfather's roots, loved the Lord, was sinful, and fell in many different areas of his life personally, but as a king, walked after the Lord, praised his name, opened the temple, and tried to build a foundation. So what does this first verse, this simple intro in the book of Micah tell us? It tells us that a young man from the back roads was faithful at home and in the country, but then also in the city under political seasons of strength and persecution, and he preached the same message. No matter who the king was, no matter who his age was, no matter where he was under, he preached the same message. Look at verses 2-3. This was the message of Micah. Hear, all you people. Who are you speaking to? I'm speaking to all of you. Listen. Now, if you know anything about Micah, I want you to understand that his message is very direct. It's harsh in ways. He comes out and he gets right to the point. Everyone, listen to me. O earth and all that is in it, let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Verse 3, for behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, and he will come down upon you and tread on these high places of the earth. Now, we're going to get into this more next Sunday, but Micah is speaking to God's people of Israel who had broken their commandment of the Old Testament to follow him. And Micah comes onto the scene speaking to a lost land. For you guys that went to Harlem with us, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. I know Brad remembers it. I don't know what group it was. But we went into Times Square and there was this man shirtless, was huge. He was a bodybuilder. And if you've ever been to Times Square, it's a lot of worldly things going on. It's very busy, right? You better hold on to your child or you'll lose them. There's so many people. And Brad and I remember this man who stood up on just like this sidewalk piece. He stood up on this thing and he just started screaming scripture as loud as he could. And people heard him and some people walked right past him. But this is kind of the image of Micah. Micah was in a lost land, a broken foundation, worldly people, erected idols, living against God. He stands up shirtless, and my brother is screaming. Listen, who? All of you. God is coming. The message of Micah is clear and simple. The message of Micah, if you're a note taker, rebellion against God. During the times of Micah, the Gospels of Jesus, and in 2021, rebellion against God will always lead to destruction. Rebellion against God will lead to destruction. Brad, I think that's what the guy was yelling that day. He might have been reading Micah. Rebellion, when I say rebellion, I literally mean as defiance against authority. And spiritually, we see authority as God. So what we see, guys, in these 7 chapters of this uncharted book for most of us, in 60 years of ministry in this Old Testament prophet, we see that Micah's message was faithful, consistent, and truthful no matter his age, his environment, or who was in power. Hear me there. His message was consistent and faithful and true, no matter his age, his environment, or who was in power. Now, in today's culture and in today's time, there are many conservatives, which I consider myself to be one. There are many conservatives. There's many believers, which I consider myself to be one, that find themselves in a very worrisome place in the climate in which we live in today. What we saw on Wednesday as Biden came in and we look at the political climate and everything that is going on in our world and schools and everything in our government, we find ourselves in a very worrisome place. There are things that I have felt and there are things that I am hearing that consist of, man, ever since Wednesday, we believe that Biden is a threat to our Christian principles. Could be. That the left in general is this wicked group This wicked group that wants nothing more than to push worldliness. That this is literally the beginning of the end. And here's the thing. Maybe none of that's true. And here's another thing. Maybe it's 100% true. Either way, if none of that occurs, or this is the beginning of the end, our mission and message does not change. Understand this if you're struggling. Our country was not in a spiritual awakening. It was not in revival two Wednesdays ago. The climate has changed. The concerns have heightened, but our message is still the same. God is real. God is good. And the only way is through his son. And that his God himself will return, as we've seen all throughout scripture, to judge the wicked. Micah served under three different kings. Godly, wicked, and one trying to restore. And the reality of this book is, guys, Micah came out swinging loudly, shirt off, screaming that God is coming in the midst of a time in which he was actually under one of the most godly kings. He didn't write this and preach this during that middle section of where things were up in the air. He said those things when someone was in power that he liked. It's so good for all of us to hear this, that sin exists under all administrations. There is wickedness and sin and brokenness no matter who is in power. Our culture continues to drift from God no matter who runs this. And just like today, as 2 months ago, the lost are still searching. Understand, take note, you and I as believers, we are called, we are ordained to be more concerned over lost souls than we are a lost country. Take a second. We're not in a rush. We are called to be more concerned, more weighted down by lost souls, which this world will never run dry of, than we are a lost country that is told to us will drift. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not some feel-good, hippie, does not matter if you vote, let's just watch the world burn together type message. If anything, Micah is the complete opposite. Micah is Old Testament coming out swinging loud. We are called to be faithful truth tellers, and hear me out, sometimes truth is harsh. Micah's not like, hey guys, it's all going to end badly anyway. Let's just watch it go. That's not what Micah's saying. Micah says, hey, listen, everyone, God is coming. Listen to the weight of this verse. He will come down. What will he do, Micah? And tread on the high places of this earth. Micah has a very loud message of not watching it burn from the background. But he's still faithful and consistent no matter the season that he's in. Listen to verses 3 through 7. For behold, the Lord is coming out. He is coming out of his place, and he will come down, and he will tread on the high places of this earth. Listen, this isn't feel good. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. And this is for the transgressions of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. And the transgressions of Jacob, is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations. Highlight verse 7. We see some of the root of the problem that led to their destruction. And her carved images shall be beaten into pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with the fire, and idols will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of the same harlot. In these verses, he is not pulling back any. He is loud. He is clear. He is direct. He says God's judgment is coming for people who wrecked it and given themselves to false idols and living a life of rebellion. Now listen to some of this language. It's a little hard to understand, but we're going to spend a little time on it. Look at verses 8 through 16. Micah continues. Says, therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. For her wounds are incurable and has come to Judah. It has come to my gate of people, to Jerusalem. Tell it not to Gath. Weep not at all in Beth Ephraim. Roll yourself in the dust. Pass by in naked shame, you inhabitants of Shaphir. Inhabitants of Zahan, do not go out. Beth Ezel mourns. Is a place that stands out, taken away from you. For the inhabitants of Moriah penned for good, but disaster came down from the Lord. Hang with me, church. To the gates of Jerusalem. O inhabitants of Lachish, harness the chariot to the swift steeds. She was the beginning of the sin, the daughters of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. Therefore you shall give presents to Moreseth Gath in the house of Atzib, shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. I will yet bring an heir to you, O inhabitants of Moriah. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because your precious children. Enlarge your baldness like an eagle, for they shall go from you into captivity. Micah is using very apocalyptic, like Daniel in the later chapters and some of the other prophets, this apocalyptic, world-ending type language in chapter 1. Judah, if you've lost me there, all of the context in which he is saying the cliff notes is that Judah and Israel had spiritually prostituted themselves to false gods. And he is saying that this is not how you were founded, and God is going to come back in judgment. In these verses, we read that Micah is calling out all of the places by name, and he warns them that God is coming. No matter a great king, financial prosperity, or worldly, or the temple closed, God will take care of God's plan. Just a few weeks ago, I was downstairs in my office, and my youngest, precious little daughter was acting foolish up in her room. And she was loud and throwing things. You could hear the floor stomping. We can hear that really well in our house. Sounds like they're having a kickboxing tournament. And I said, okay, I'm going to have to get up. So I get up out of my office, and I'm walking to the staircase, and I'm about to walk upstairs, and I hear her sister Lennon go, Lila, calm down. Stop screaming. Mama's going to come, right? And that's because they're way more scared of mama than me. And if I would have gotten upstairs, I would have said the same thing. I would have been like, girl, mama's going to come up here, right? So I'm at the edge of the stairs, and I hear Lennon go, calm down. One of our parents is going to come up here. It's a good message. It's a good sister. It's a lot of wisdom there. Don't misunderstand. That's not Micah's message. He is not saying, Israel, get your stuff together unless you want God to come. He says, God is coming. This is not speculation. This is prophecy. In 2021, church, a president is not going to alter the course of God's coming. Do you hear this? God is on his throne. This is still his plan, and he will return to judge the wicked and call those he has made his to himself. This is a warning that all of us should take hold of, but it is not a warning to control or to prevent God's judgment. It's a warning for you and I as believers to do something special with the time before he does. God sits today on his throne just like he did two Wednesdays ago. He alone ordains, he alone allows, he alone guides all aspects of life. Nothing is out of his control. Nothing is out of his hands. And he will even take the wicked and the righteous for his good, for his glory, and our good. I'm going to be honest with you. Am I discouraged about some things that I'm seeing today? Absolutely. Is my concerns heightened? Absolutely. Am I shamed? Absolutely. Do I support? No, I do not. But my message has not changed. Our message is not that this is our home. Our message is not that this is our calling. Our message is not that the message being prosperity here on earth. We've said this a million times at this church. We are aliens here. We are foreigners here. We know how the story ends. We know what we've been saved from. We know what Jesus has done for us. Our message is consistent. No matter if we're in Jotham or we're under Ahaz, God is good, God is real, and the only way to salvation is through his son. Do not lose hope in what you were never meant to control. As we close here, next week, I'm really excited to go over the mindset of the people of Judah and Israel and that covenant that is broken. So I want to call you back here. But I really want you to spend time reading on your own that first verse, that introduction. That's what I said. I spent more time in that first verse than I did any other verse this week. Who is Micah? He was a prophet of God, a messenger of the Lord. He was faithful in all that he did. What was his message? That defiance of the Lord will always result in destruction. And where is God in it? God is giving us truth, no matter what circumstances we are in, that he is in control, that he is good, and that his son is the way. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for every word of this book. There are so, in Micah, I am constantly reminded of what I don't know. And not only of what I don't know, but how much left you have for me. No matter who is in this church and how much they know, I am constantly reminded of your goodness and how the Bible never runs dry of blessings, wisdom, and direction. God, if anybody is in this place and they are concerned, and they are worried, and they are angry, and they are confused, and they are stressed, press in on them a message of hope that we are called to be faithful no matter our circumstances, that we are called to speak truth against falseness and against dangers against our Christian principles, but we are called to be faithful in all of it. No matter who is our president, no matter who's in power, no matter our environment or climate, we are called to be consistent. That you are good, that you are the way. God, I pray now for our president. I pray for our leaders. I pray that you do something phenomenal in them. I pray that right now as we speak, Biden all the way down sees your goodness. Lord, I pray that we see a revival. I pray that we see an awakening. But if not, I pray for your sovereign plan before your people and for your glory. In your precious name, the church says in harmony, amen.